Hello and welcome to another edition of Lyricord Early and Classical Music Show. I'm here with my co-host Jeffrey Dooley. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Nick. Good to be back again.
Good to have you. And today we are going to continue our discussion about Baroque music and what offerings we have on Lyricord in Baroque. Well, you mentioned Henry Purcell. Let's hear a little more Purcell, your colleague Howard Crook, tenor, performing If Music Be the Food of Love from that wonderful album you did, Purcell Airs and Duets.
And this one is, If Music Be the Food of Love, is there are three settings that Purcell made of it. The most famous one is a tune that goes, If music be the food of love, sing on. But this one is almost like a cantata. It uses the same melodic gesture, but it's full of description, as Purcell is so great, that using the text and the music mashed together for expressive purposes.
Uh-huh. All right, well, let's listen to Mr. Crook and If Music Be the Food of Love.
If music be the food of love, sing on till I am filled with joy. For then my listening soul you move.
Tenor, Howard Crook singing If Music Be the Food of Love, Sing On from Airs and Duets by Henry Purcell with Jeffrey Dooley and Howard Crook. Beautiful, beautiful.
Very beautiful. I think this is a perfect example of the creative continual playing that Ed Brewer does.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, the English harpsichord realizations are much more adventurous.
Yeah.
And they have a reputation for being that way. The right hand does counter melodies and things, and some people criticize that when they don't realize that the English style is a little bit more lively, and even written records of how Handel accompanied his singers, about the counter melodies that he would create in the right hand and support the meaning of the words and support the singer. This is a perfect example of how the combination of Mary, the gamba player, and Ed, spacing chords out, dropping octaves to bring out the meaning of the words.
Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful recording.
Oh, wonderful.
So, Jeffrey, what should we listen to now?
This is the ending of Purcell's Dido and Aeneas, and it's a three-part sequence beginning with a recitative, quasi-recitative, Thy Hand Belinda, and followed by one of the greatest laments ever written, based on a chromatic ground bass. And I've mentioned before, the ground bass is a bass line that repeats over and over again. And Purcell is the master of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sung by Julianne Baird, who is also a master. I've sung Dido and Aeneas with Julianne several times. And the lament goes into a final chorus called With Drooping Wings, See Cupids Come. And this is another example of the Baroque idea. So Purcell writes a constantly descending line to portray the drooping wings of the angels floating in the air. And in his original performance, it was done with extremely elaborate stage movement.
Mm-hmm.
And the singers literally were on stands.
Wow.
That came down. Mm-hmm. And the drooping winged angels, or putti, were floating across the stage.
Oh, boy.
As Dido dies on the stage.
Huh.
And it's sung by every possible kind of singer. Marilyn Horne has sung it. Every singer sings the lament from Dido. I've sung it in a transposition. Thank you.
Does anyone ever attempt that kind of staging?
It has been done more and more now. Baroque operas are being done with original staging. I did a performance of Handel's Tasio with hand-operated stage machinery.
Wow.
And So, and the various comments about it are described, this incredible stage action that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing to remember that's incredible about Dido and Aeneas, it was written for children.
Right.
In the girls' dancing school. Mm-hmm. And so it does have a lot of other movements that are not included in the recording that are dance movements, and the dancers would do them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to just explain, when you hear Julianne doing this, I feel you're hearing very close to what Purcell heard during his time.
Mm.
You'll notice a lot of extremely soft singing, extremely expressive singing, the use of appoggiaturas. You really feel this lament. Mm. And it really comes from French music, this kind of brown bass or chaconne bass line. And she's a master of it, an absolute master of it.
Right. Well, let's listen to the lament from Dido and Aeneas. Thank you. that's beautiful.
Wonderful. This is just a marvelous approach to a Purcell. Continues to wind down in sadness from the very first note of Thy Hand, Belinda.
Right.
Just a beautiful performance. And if you listen carefully, you'll hear that the conductor has written in an appoggiatura in the chorus part on the last note.
Mm-hmm.
Not an appoggiatura that Purcell put in, but that's the wonderful thing about Baroque music.
Right.
The written notes are a chart, and you add your expression, your personality to it.
Right.
But what is really wonderful is he doesn't do it when the music repeats as an instrumental ending. So he gives it to the voices as an expression. Sure. Also, another thing that's interesting is he uses the lute for continuo when she sings the lament itself.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
But then the harpsichord with the lute stop accompanying the strings. And continuo instruments, you know, we think of the harpsichord, the ubiquitous harpsichord, as a continuo instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But often organs, chamber organs were used, the oboes. Mm-hmm. Even harps, especially in Handel. And now you hear a lot more performances with a group of continuo instruments.
Yeah.
But the harpsichord is sort of the backbone of the continuo. We need some kind of chordal instrument to provide the harmony in between the bass and the treble.
Mm-hmm. You were talking earlier about the emotion and the passion in Baroque music,
yes.
And I think that's so clear there. I mean, the melancholy, you can cut it with a knife.
It's always extreme, as the Baroque means, you know, the uneven sort of Baroque pearl.
Mm-hmm.
These emotions they're always very extreme. And as I mentioned a while back ago, if you think of the sculpture of the time, think of Bernini's Ecstasy of St. Teresa, or look at the paintings of the time. The painting and the architecture and the writing and the clothing and the music and the performance of the music were all of a piece.
Right.
So people say, oh, Baroque music, that's not emotional. Well, that's because they're not performing it emotionally.
That's
but if you look around you, it's the human expression, the human passion in the architecture. Everything is extreme. Everything is right straight out there. To perform Baroque music from a distant sort of academic way takes away its expression.
Right.
From the standpoint of the performer, it's the most expressive music.
Mm-hmm. Well, continuing with our Purcell sandwich, we thought we'd have a little more from your album with Howard Crook, Many, Many Such Days.
This is another example of a wonderful ground bass. We just heard this exquisitely beautiful chromatic ground bass.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is a very lively one, and Purcell is the composer who wrote the most interesting ground basses, which comes from the French, these repeated chaconne or passacaglia.
Mm-hmm.
But Purcell creates these bass lines that are so evocative. You could say Purcell's ground basses are what Bach's fugues are, expressive. And this one is two voices singing over this ground bass, and it's from the birthday ode, Love's God Assure Was Blind This Day, for Queen Mary. And Mary loved Purcell's music.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these odes were written to be performed in private. This is a birthday ode. He uses the ground bass in all different ways. So this one is a very lively one, very rhythmic, and portrays exactly many, many such days.
Well, let's listen.
Such days may she behold.
Many, many, many such days.
Many, many,
many, many such days. From the birthday ode, Love's God Assure Was Blind This Day.
Wonderful duet with Howard Crook and Jeffrey Dooley from the Airs and Duets album on Lyricord.
Just something to point out that's unusual is that we normally hear or usually hear a cello playing continuo when it's a continuo-only accompaniment. But here, we decided to use the bassoon because it seemed just the right character for such a bubbly, happy bass line. And another perfect example of Purcell using one word over and over again. He loved to do this. So he constantly says, many, 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 many.
Right.
And when words like, where it says, time will tear, he has fast passages moving around, and this is typical of him. But everyone loved what he did with the English language.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a break, and then we can come back and play some more, okay?
Very good.
Critics praise this milestone recording of the complete harpsichord works of Jacques Dufy, brilliantly played by master harpsichordist John Paul, and available on Lyricord. Jacques Dufy died the day after the storming of the Bastille in 1789. The last representative of the French harpsichord school, his music, all but lost in the chaos of the French Revolution, can now be rediscovered on a stunning and specially priced collection of CDs or downloads. The Penguin Guide to Recorded Classical Music says, an enterprising and important set. Brian Robbins of Fanfare magazine agrees. The set is a real credit to all involved and an important document. Dufy's music is admirably played by John Paul, who here emerges as a performer of considerable distinction. Visit www.lyricord.com and order this thrilling collection today.
Jeffrey Dooley, you've had a long, extensive career as a countertenor. I understand you give master classes, too.
Yes, I do, and probably my favorite way of teaching is working with singers in Baroque interpretation and also how to improvise cadenzas. And I also teach English pronunciation for foreign students and business people, both in classroom settings and for private students as well. And I also lecture and serve on panels, that kind of thing.
Well, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach me through my manager, Melody Bunting International is the name of the organization, 155 West 72nd Street, room 604, New York, New York, 10023. And the website is www.melodybunting.com.
And the phone number?
212-799-4949.
Do you have an email address?
JeffreyMDooley@gmail.com.
I'm back here talking with Jeffrey Dooley on the Lyricord Early and Classical Music Podcast. Well, we were going to move over to Germany now, to Telemann, and we're going to hear some flute duets, Sonata in C minor, with Tom Moore and Kimberly Riley.
And it's not with continuo, it's just the two flutes alone.
Mm-hmm.
And Telemann wrote quite a few pieces that way, two violins alone, and they're played on Baroque flutes, and you'll notice the difference between the Baroque flute and the modern flute as you hear it. These are similar. These duets are similar to the Morley canzonets for two voices, two treble instruments or two treble voices singing polyphony together.
Great, let's hear it.
Thank you.
George Philip Telemann. Let's see, we heard two movements, the Grave movement from Sonata in C minor, that's the first movement, and then we also heard the Allegro, Sonata in F minor. Yeah.
The lovely thing about the Baroque flute is you can hear the wood.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the wind going through the wood of these instruments.
Mm-hmm. It's also a very woody room. It's a meeting house.
Oh,
and,
yes,
and you can
perfect.
hear the wood on the walls as well.
Wonderful.
So we thought we'd move over to Mr. Handel right now.
Not a bad choice.
Yeah. Our recent recording of Gloria, which is a fairly recently discovered piece in 1985.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. I think it was the Handel year in 1985. And it's from Handel's Italian period.
Right.
So it's written in the style of Italian music. Handel was the great chameleon. He was from Germany, but you'd never know it, because when he came to Italy as a young man in the 1700s, he completely adopted the Italian style, completely.
Right.
And then he eventually moved to England and created what we call the English style.
Mm-hmm.
The Handelian chorus. But he owes an enormous debt to Purcell, and he acknowledges that in his various stories about him. He knew that he had to create something that's like Purcell when he came to England. So his first two pieces, the Dedding and Te Deum, and I think the Birthday Ode for Queen Anne, you could swear it was Purcell. If you didn't know it was Handel who wrote it, you would swear it. Start the Queen Anne Birthday Ode starts with a countertenor and trumpet solo, which Purcell is so famous for.
Uh-huh.
His great choruses, we think of Handelian choruses, came from Purcell's choral writing. So he became English, but this is Handel in Italy, where he wrote cantatas for two voices, for two castrati, as vocalises before operas.
Huh. This is Elaine Comperoni, harpsichord, with the members of the Queen's Chamber Band, and Julianne Baird. This album is, in fact, Gloria Handel in Rome. So
it is
from his Italian period, for sure. So let us listen to the first movement, Gloria, and movement two, Et in Terra Pax.
And again, we have Julianne perfectly portraying Et in Terra Pax, peace on earth.
Just in this day.
That's singing.
This is Handel writing in typical Italian style. And a lot of these solo motets, Vivaldi wrote many, mm-hmm. Handel wrote many. And whenever you have a concluding amen, that's when the composer writes his fioritura and fast passage work uh-huh. to show off the singer,
yes.
especially in Italian music. This was probably composed for a castrato voice, I would assume, mm-hmm. being in Rome. Right. Women weren't allowed to sing on the stages right. in Rome. So it's typical of that expressive florid style. The Ed in terra pax means peace on earth. Perfectly mm-hmm. expressed with those long-held tones.
Yeah.
And Julianne is so marvelous at bringing out that worshipful sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the amen is really a display piece for the voice.
Right. So I thought we'd also play one of the Handel suites that we have on this album, Gloria Handel in Rome. It's a little bit of a cornucopia of various different Handel works. It includes an Italian cantata as well with Marshall Coyd. But Elaine played the harpsichord suite number 3 in D minor, and those tracks are interspersed throughout the album. And so what we will hear now is the first two movements. First, the prelude of harpsichord suite number 3 in D minor, performed by Elaine Comparoni.
And what's interesting about Handel is he wrote so much music, but very little keyboard music.
Mm-hmm.
There's harpsichord suites, which were also used for teaching purposes, like Purcell wrote suites for harpsichord too.
Right.
But he reuses a lot of his music, Handel does. So some of the themes in these suites he used later on in oratorios as opera arias. He was, probably the first recycler.
Right. I love the harpsichord suites.
Yes, they're marvelous. It really shows the sonority of the harpsichord, and he plays through the whole range.
Mm-hmm. They work really well on piano as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear Elaine.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
Elaine Comperoni playing the first two movements of Suite Number 3 in D minor for harpsichord by Handel, Prelude and Allegro movement.
And Handel was known for his keyboard playing, especially his organ playing, mm-hmm. and he wrote organ concertos, but he would perform these in between the acts of his operas and oratorios.
Uh-huh.
And he was famous for improvising on the organ and the harpsichord. And there are quite a few letters from various people who came to hear him mm-hmm. about the concertos. And interestingly enough, he invented an instrument that's a combination of a harpsichord and an organ.
Really?
So he could play the organ and the harpsichord simultaneously.
Wow.
To accompany continuo. Uh-huh. And the keyboard was separate. One keyboard to the right had pipes, and the other one had a harpsichord in it.
Wow.
And he could play them together, and probably did. He was a real virtuoso and a real showman, and was constantly dazzling his audiences.
Right. Well, thank you for being with us today. That about wraps it up.
Oh, great to be here. Looking forward to more.
Yes, we'll see you next time.
All right.
This program copyright 2010, Lyricord Discs, all rights reserved.